B-Pod Studios.
Comic books, video games, anime, sci-fi. If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
Get those nerds!
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 You're listening to Nerd Radio.
That's right, another week, Nerd Radio. My name is Chuck Bean. I am your host every single week here because if I wasn't here, there wouldn't be a show.
That is correct.
I am joined by the handsome Al Beck.
Where?
Right there.
Oh.
Right on the screen in front of me.
Cool.
And I'll take it. The nearly erotic visage of Mr. James Campbell.
Nearly erotic. I'd say it's purely erotic. 100% pure eroticism.
It's already there and back again. Yes. Not nearly.
Yeah, no, we don't want to get pulled off of Twitch for, you know, any lewdness.
Well, it's not lewd. It's just erotic.
Ah, okay. Extremely erotic. Lachna Ruby's in chat saying extremely erotic. Yes, you are listening to those three voices here for this week's Nerd Radio, which you can find on the podcast page over on WRAF.com. Or Al Beck has done the work to make it super easy for you.
Yeah, NerdRadio101.com, which just forwards you to WRAF.com's landing page. But a shout out also to Rock 92.9 in Boston and 96K Rock in Fort Myers for also carrying the podcast on their, or hosting, I think I should say, the podcast on their websites as well.
We're not in Oregon?
No.
Or
no,
Jersey?
Believe it or not. No. No. No New Mexico.
Man,
no.
I'm
still working on that.
Yeah, all right.
No, maybe Chile one day.
Chile, yes.
Go international.
Yeah, Chile. You can also find us Wednesday afternoons in the Checkpoint XP studios doing a video version of the podcast, recording it. You can watch us live, join us in the chat. And James, where can people find that?
It's at twitch.tv/checkpointxp.
So, guys, we got plenty to get to this week. I had a very busy weekend. I spent a lot of entertainment money that I'm going to write off as a tax thing so that I can see in a couple of movies. Yeah, research. Exactly, research. There's some video game news to get to. And, Al, you were a little bit late getting in the studio.
My apologies to the Twitch viewers. We normally start our stream around 11:30 on Wednesday, but we're about 15, 20 minutes late this week.
Do you want to let everyone know why?
Well, yeah, because since I didn't end up pooping myself and it wasn't a total disaster, I did get a chance to talk to William Shatner. So I did a little interview with Captain Kirk himself today.
So we were delayed by Al's nerd boner.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You had to take care of the nerd boner. You had to flex those thigh muscles.
Beat it back down.
Yeah, yes. To move from his crotch into other parts of his body.
Yeah, I honestly have no jokes as a rebuttal. Yes, absolutely. 100%.
That's 100% what happened.
Yeah. It was a factual statement.
I was aroused by a 90-year-old man. I was late getting up here.
You and the sugar babies across the country.
Yeah, so, I mean, we didn't, I think it's actually, we're probably going to stick it at the end of this podcast.
Okay, if you're making production decisions now.
Well, we talked about it last week, and I thought that's what you said!
Also, Al is known for liking to stick it in the end.
No, that was my next question. Are we going to get to hear that?
This came up last week that I was going to have the chance to do this. So I told you guys about it.
Right.
Especially because I knew it was going to be on Wednesday when we record. So it might get in the way as it did. But I flat out told you guys, I'm like, let's not promote it. Because if this thing is a flaming car wreck, I don't want anyone to know.
Just in case you propose marriage to William Shatner.
Yes.
Or
well, it's like
that.
I told the story when I met him last year at the convention about, like, I'm prepping my brother. I'm like, listen, celebrities are just normal people. I've met enough of them.
Right.
It's fine. And when we were next in line, all of that went out the door because it's freaking Captain Kirk from my childhood. I'm like, oh my God, look at him. He's so old and beautiful.
Turned into Chris Farley.
Yeah. Remember when you were Captain Kirk? That was awesome.
That was awesome.
Yeah, and like we walked away, we did the photo, and he had said four words to us total in that experience. He said, hello, gentlemen, and then afterwards he said, thank you, and that was it.
That was it.
He said a lot more than four words this time.
I'll circle
back to that in just a second. But like we walked away, and I looked at my brother, and I was like, Kevin, I don't know if I looked at the camera or not. Like we might get this photo.
I forgot that part of the
story. Yeah, I'm like, we might get this photo back, and I may be staring longingly at the captain. I don't know. And I was so nervous to see the photo. It ended up being a great picture, which, you know, I'll have to post again on social media since I did talk to the guy. But really, he's promoting an album. He's doing a blues album. That's another one thing where it's a spoken word over the music. And we talk about that. And we also had a chance to talk about Unexplained, the show that he does for History Channel, which I think is great. It's kind of the same ilk of a Unsolved Mysteries. It's a mixture of mythology, like they talk about the Chupacabra. Or Chupacabra, or whatever you call it, and the origin of that.
You've seen the show, so you're better first to let us know how it's supposed to be pronounced.
There's also tangible fact that's like, it shouldn't work, but it does, and they kind of get into that's what the show is.
Okay.
So we got a chance to cover both of those. My goal, I only had a few minutes to talk to him. My goal was not to just sit and talk Star Trek, because it was 50 years ago, and also I'm not smart enough to come up with a question he hasn't
heard
yet.
Who was the hottest intergalactic babe you made whoopee with?
Who was the hottest play in the universe?
Right. So, but no, it went well. He was an easy interview because I just said, so you're doing an album. And then he talked for 5 minutes and half the interview was gone. it was good. He even at one point said that it was interesting that I said some things. So,
look forward to it.
Or maybe it's because he remembered you from when you met him and you were so speechless. He's like, it's nice to actually hear your voice, young man.
Yeah. He made
an impression.
He remembers the fat ass with the red shirt. I'm sure.
Instead of me doing all the talking, saying 4 words, I'm glad you got 4 words in this time.
Yeah, so that is going to be at the end of this podcast, I guess.
Stick it in the end.
So William Shatner coming up later on in this episode of Nerd Radio, and I think, hope I'm not speaking out of term, we can always delete this if necessary, but I did talk to Dave before the interview. I think it may actually be up at DaveAndChuckTheFreak.com.
Excellent.
As well.
Awesome.
So. Nice.
I'll know that for sure before this gets posted on Friday.
Yeah, exactly. So you'll be texting me on Thursday night.
Yes,
like,
delete that part because it's not there. But no, I think Dave
got rid of that, right?
Yeah, he said something about maybe putting it up on the website.
All right, well, cool. It sounds like you've already had a fantastic morning. I had a pretty busy weekend, as I said before. I spent, oh my goodness, I think I spent like $100 on entertainment this weekend.
Woo!
I feel really
is Chuck getting paid to do this podcast now?
I am not.
$100.
Thankfully, I've taken on a third job outside of doing podcast.
He's got his OnlyFans set up, everybody.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You can
watch him play Guitar Hero nude.
Yeah. Any photos of William Shatner on that OnlyFans, I'll subscribe.
Yeah, no, unfortunately not. Unfortunately. What if I put a photo of William Shatner over my junk?
There you go. Censored by Shatner.
Shatner, yeah, exactly.
I'll take a half price deal for that.
All right. Excellent. No, Saturday was Record Store Day, the first Record Store Day of 3 Record Store Days.
Oh, I didn't realize.
It was, and thankfully a local record store was open. So I went there and bought a couple of vinyls and spent a little bit more money than I expected. But the money I did expect to spend this weekend was all in the theaters, or technically would have been in the theaters if theaters were open. I got to go and see the New Mutants movie that I've been waiting for years, like 4 years to see at the drive-in over the weekend. I believe it was on Sunday night. And the movie lived up to my expectations. I'm happy to report. However, the drive-in experience was awful.
Oof.
Oh, okay.
This is probably the last time in my lifetime I will go to a drive-in for anything. Because, first of all, it was $30 to go to the drive-in.
How many people in the car with you?
Only two.
Mm. So
only
15
two, just me and Amy. I thought of inviting a couple of extra people just to try and make up for it. I was going to charge them. I was going to be like,
I would have charged them.
$5 each. Let's go.
We're going to cover.
Right. $5 to clam bake and Chuck's farts while I watch the X-Men New Mutants movie. Can't wait.
In a fancy fusion.
Yes. Fancy fart fusion with a nice ding from the parking
Sometimes
lot.
It makes me feel like I'm ripping you off, Chuck.
I definitely would have had a cover charge.
Yeah.
Just putting that out there.
But it was... unfortunately, the first part of it was I got there a little bit late, and I was more in the back. So somebody with like a minivan had their tailgate up the entire movie.
Bottom
third of the screen was just missing. The projection wasn't as good as we had the Metallica drive-in experience on Saturday. I didn't go to that because I was here on the air. But Meltdown was telling me they had an LED screen out of Canterbury Village, and it was clear and it looked good. They didn't have that at the drive-in I had, so. A lot of it was, and it's a very dark movie, so a lot of it was watching this blob move against this blob.
So you can't really say whether it was a good movie or not, because I feel like you technically didn't really get to see the movie.
It turns out it was all marionettes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has no idea.
It's just a puppet show. I liked what
Shadow
I saw.
Puppets.
I liked everything I've seen in the trailers. All the casting is perfect. The characters look exactly like I would want them to look. They sound and feel like I would want them to be
good
coming out of the thing. I know that... I woke up Saturday morning to most of Twitter completely like disavowing the movie.
I heard a lot of bad stuff about the movie, including one of the writers of The New Mutants was upset about some of the things.
Yeah, so let's get into it, because the original artist, I think it's the original artist, Bob McLeod, had tweeted out between Friday night and Saturday morning that he thought it was unfortunate that some of the characters had been changed, which is things that we'd heard going into the movie, like the one character, Sunspot, is a more of a dark-skinned Brazilian person, and they cast a light-skinned actual Brazilian person in that role. So people were already kind of like, why didn't she get a dark-skinned person? The lead character, Danny Moonstar, is an American Indian, and she's more of a light-skinned American Indian.
Mm.
So there was like three characters that were more lighter-skinned than some people on the internet would actually appreciate. And Bobby Glenn said that he didn't appreciate some of the visual changes to some of his favorite characters that he had, you know, helped create with Chris Claremont. And then he also got very upset because when they list him in the credits, they got his name wrong.
Oh!
His last name is spelled McLeod, and they spelled it McLeod.
How did they mess that up?
I really...
What poor intern is being fired from whatever production company put that out?
You had 4 years to get the name right! But he did say, I believe it's on Sunday or Monday, that he was overwhelmed by all the news coverage that people that his tweet had got out, and that, for the record, he didn't say it was a bad film, and that he hadn't even seen it, just that what he'd seen of the movie that had come out.
Typical internet troll. Look at that. A creator of the comic series, and he's trolling the movie like a regular troll would. You don't even see the movie, and you're expressing all these hateful, negative opinions.
I love it, though. That should be, I was going to say it should be a segment of the show, but it really is the entire show. Lots of opinions about things we don't know about.
But you're right. Right. But he said that he was just expressing his disappointment about characters that didn't have signature attributes. And he thought that the character of Magic, the blonde Russian that teleports everywhere, actually looks spot on, which I agree with. When you see her in the trailers, you're like, that is 100%. That's Magic. Absolutely. Once again, I liked what I saw. I can't wait to see it much more clearly.
Yeah.
On my home television. Actually, I had to go to the internet to see the dragon, Lockheed, that actually in the comics is Kitty Pryde's dragon, that is with Magic in this movie, because they did a little CGI dragon for the end fight. And I knew he was there because I saw the blue fire that he was blowing.
You saw the blue blur?
Yeah, but I could not see him on the thing. So I saw it on Twitter. I was like, now that looks really cool.
What's going to be funny is when Chuck goes home and he actually goes to the bank and he would, you know, applies for a loan so he can afford to buy more entertainment.
Yeah.
And he spends $100 at home to watch this movie. And then he doesn't like it because it's not what he thought
it was
when he
saw
it at the drive-in.
Yeah.
He's like, this is what? That's not what the Magic the Dragon looked like.
My drive-in experience was way better than this. But I'll tell you, renting Bill and Ted's Face the Music at home was absolutely...
Did you cry? I heard the ending is a kind of a tearjerker moment.
I didn't.
Okay.
But I get it.
Okay.
I absolutely... There is a post-credit sequence that is kind of the theme of the movie. Is very much, you know.
Is it Alex Winter cashing his check? Like, oh my God, this guy can eat.
I can't believe I got him to make this movie and I got paid.
The honor to come back.
Now I'm going to see if they'll do Freaks again.
Yeah. Keanu's such a good guy. He's probably been paying Alex Winter's rent for years.
I would not be surprised. I shared a thing on Facebook yesterday. There's just this litany of stories about Keanu Reeves and what a good dude he is.
Yeah. And today, as we record this podcast, I believe it's his birthday.
It is.
Happy birthday, Keanu Reeves. I'm not a huge diehard Keanu Reeves guy, but happy birthday.
Yeah, I absolutely am. Absolutely. With me, it goes Keanu Reeves and Nicolas Cage right up there.
Now we know who to get him his birthday cake.
That's right. Keanu Reeves and Nicolas Cage.
I want to get Keanu Reeves and Nicolas Cage in a wrestling match. That's what we're going to put on your birthday cake. Somebody draw that for me.
Nice. Nice. I appreciate that.
Both shirtless.
It feels like it should be in the Bill and Ted canon. It feels very much, I don't want to spoil too much of it for anybody that hasn't seen it yet, but there's a sequence in there where their daughters get to go on an excellent adventure, much like they did in the very first movie. That's very fascinating. Some of the historical figures they have in the movie, the actors and actresses that they got to play the historical figures, are spot on.
Nice.
And
is Keanu Bill or is he Ted? I forget.
He is Ted.
Okay, he's Ted.
Yep.
So he's got the military dad, right?
Yes.
So is Bill's hot mom in this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's
and
still looking good?
She's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for her.
And there's you find out right at the beginning of the movie, there's a very fun plot twist about Bill's mom.
Oh, cool. Okay.
But there's a couple of plot points I wish they would have expanded on a little bit. Like, if you've seen the trailer, you know that part of the story is that they have to write the song. Like, the future people come to them and it's like, hey, it's time to write the song that's going to unite and save the world. And they're like, I thought we did that already. I thought we have to write. And they're
like, what? We already won the Battle of the Bands, man.
Right.
The Wild Stallions are already a hit.
And they've spent the last, you know, 20-something years just continuing to make music, thinking that, you know, eventually we'll have hit. The song will exist. And they haven't. So they get kind of, you know, freaked out about what are we going to do? So the idea comes about as like, well, what if we go to the future where we've already written the song and just take it from ourselves instead of having to do the hard work of writing the song?
Yeah.
And then that leads into a bunch of different future versions.
Like a butterfly effect.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, okay. And I kind of wish that one of the plot points would have been that by going into the future, instead of doing the hard work, by going into the future to steal the song, it turns them into jerks. Because it would have explained why every time they go 2 years, 5 years, 10 years in the future, that they're worse and worse people.
Ah.
Yeah.
It's also really strange after years and years of seeing Keanu Reeves in all these action movies to see him as Ted again.
Like a I think Keanu came out too and said that they're not stoners.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
so a non-stoner.
They're just stoner, not dude. Bright.
Yeah.
They're just...
just simple.
Yeah,
couple
they're just
of simple, so simple dudes, couple bro, of, that want to write the music that saves the universe.
Yeah.
And I think I don't know if that's on me or if that's Keanu having a hard time getting back into being that character, but I think it's more the fact that I look at him and I see Neo and I see John Wick.
Sure.
And I'm
dude,
like...
I see the guy who saved the bus on speed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I had heard as well before the movie came out there that they really wanted to try and CGI George Carlin into it.
I was
it.
Wondering if they tried to do something like
there,
that.
Yeah, there is a George Carlin cameo.
There oh, is a wow. cameo? Okay,
there
well,
is. It's
well, they
very
wanted
charming.
To have like a real interactive... They wanted Rufus in the movie.
Rufus!
But yes. The story I'd heard was that it was going to be too expensive and just wasn't going to look realistic enough.
Sure.
Which to me... I'm glad that they, if it was going to look bad, I'm glad they pulled the plug on it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, rather than forcing it. Although I will say, I thought Rogue One recreated Tarkin, like, awesome.
Yes.
He looked amazing.
I still feel like he should have just looked at the window the whole time, because the minute he turned around, I'm like, that's not a person.
Yeah, you could tell. Yeah.
True.
It looked good.
That
but
is
you
a
could
video
tell
game character. That's not a person. If he had just been, if I had just been looking at a reflection of his face, and he was like, I'm not even going to turn around and talk to you.
Yeah.
Like, that, A, that would have been totally... Tarkin-like, and B, I wouldn't have...
It would have tracked, yeah. It probably would have looked better. Because I'm saying it looked amazing right now because it's recent technology, but maybe look back in 10, 15 years.
Oh, yeah, you're like,
sure.
Oh,
my God.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, though. Then when they do the circuits of time with the phone booth and everything like that, it's never looked better.
Really?
It looks really cool.
Like, we got a special effects budget.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Absolutely. And it did really well as far as the video on demand stuff goes. It's
did
like,
it? How much money did it make? Do you have any stats?
Okay, well, I know that New Mutants actually had a
well,
great...
how much did it cost? This wasn't $30, was it? This was like a $20...
like a $20 million, or it was 20 bucks.
Like so to watch Bill and Ted would cost you a crisp $20 bill?
Yep.
Okay. See, to me, that's what I would spend to watch
absolutely.
A movie.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was absolutely down with paying 20 bucks to
I'm
watch
not even
it.
A Bill and Ted guy, and I would consider it if my fiance was like, hey.
In fact, most of the streaming services had a deal where you could just outright buy the movie along with the first two for 35.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just have digital copies of all three of them that you could watch. Because for 20 bucks, I could watch it one time within the next month.
Oh, so they give you 30 days to watch it.
Yeah, they give you 30 days to watch it.
You only
it.
Get one time to go through it?
When you play it once, you've got 24 hours to watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I can watch it
play.
Four or five times in one day.
Okay.
But
I was gonna
like,
say,
I can't watch it now.
Yeah,
what I would do is I would hit play, and then right before it gets to the very, very end of the credits, go right back to the beginning.
Just watch it over and over again.
I'd be like, don't let the movie end!
Yeah.
You got to stop it before they get to the end.
No, I think that's how all digital rentals work. You rent it, you got 30 days to watch it, and then it goes away.
Yeah.
Okay. Or as soon as you hit play, you've got 24 hours to enjoy it, and then it disappears.
Yeah.
Gotcha. It's like the Saw puzzle. The Saw riddle starts now.
Yeah, exactly.
So New Mutants made $7 million at the theaters this week.
Okay.
Which is the number one movie when it comes to going to the drive-in, because I keep saying at theaters, there weren't a lot of theaters open, whereas Bill and Ted only made $1 million at the theaters. But it also has made, like, is the top of the rental charts on Amazon, on iTunes, on Google, like on three or four different platforms.
Nice.
So they're raking it in at home. And I think that really speaks to, in 2020, I'd much rather just press a button at home and watch it than, you know, have to go out and
again,
risk COVID.
I don't want to clam bake and everybody's farts in the car trying to watch the mom of the minivan and the hatchback open.
Note to self, never go to a drive-in with James.
Yeah, you don't want to be stuck in the car with me. I'm getting Taco Bell on the way.
I was going to say a whole lot of cheesy gordita crunches.
Yeah, I'm sneaking in food. So it's gonna be a stinky experience.
Right. I did read a thing, too, that they had to cut one of the historical figures that they wanted their daughters to put together the band with was going to be Elvis. And they had to cut that particular segment. They couldn't get Elvis. Couldn't get the rights to Elvis.
You get Jack White.
That would have been fantastic.
Because he played Elvis in that one movie, didn't he?
Was it Dewey Cox?
Yeah.
You know, I have a list on my phone of, this is a sidebar, of about three movies that I look for on DVD whenever I go to like Disc Replay or someplace that has used DVDs. And that's one of them.
Is it really?
Never found a DVD of it.
Does a DVD of it exist?
I'm sure it does.
Because I feel like that movie came to theaters, and the next thing I know, it was on Netflix.
Yeah.
And that it came out in theaters before Netflix was even a thing, I believe.
Yeah. I quote the scene with, I can't remember the one comedian's name, but when Dewey opens the door, he's like, what are you doing in here? Cocaine, Dewey. It's a nightmare.
Yeah, it's
you don't want none of this.
You don't want to do this.
It makes all your bad feelings good feelings.
I love when he was describing marijuana.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. Don't teach dare.
Yeah, exactly. That was my movie-going experience this week. I recommend both of those movies. I do not recommend going to a drive-in to see it, unfortunately. But we got some video game stuff to get to. I got some Death Watch stuff. I hope you're ready, Albeck, for the Death Watch.
Wow, who'd you kill?
I didn't kill nobody. You're the Death Watch guy. You're the you didn't know? I'll fill him in. I'll fill him in.
We got to explain to him the bits of the show that we do on a regular basis here.
Right, exactly.
He forgot. Senility touched him earlier.
We'll be back with more Nerd Radio.
Senility.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This just in. Flash. Attention, Mr. and Mrs. America and all ships at sea. Nerd Radio is taking the country by storm.
This is Nerd Radio.
I've got that in my folder of production as Captain America theme.
Oh, gotcha.
Because it just sounds like some 1940s thing.
I love it. That one's my favorite.
Not surprising.
Yeah.
Not at all.
It's very old-timey.
Yep. My name's Chuck Bean, joined, as always, by Mr. Al Beck and James for some more Nerd Radio here, wherever you're getting your podcasts. It's part of the B-Pod Studios Network. And we are back on Riff 2 on Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. So if you've got yourself an HD radio, tune in at 101.1 FM HD2. This week, I just talked about all the movies that I saw. We've also got some video game news to get to. I know that I told you guys a couple weeks ago, James, you got to try out the Avengers trailer. We talked about it. I got to try it out, and I was like, I like it, but I don't think I need it on launch day.
Yeah, you don't know that it's worth your money on launch day.
Well, 24 hours ago, that all changed.
Uh-oh.
Oh, what happened?
That absolutely changed. So the Avengers game comes out this Friday. And as we talked about, they're going to be adding characters to it. And you don't have to spend extra money for the characters, which is super awesome.
Yeah.
They released a trailer for the first character that they're releasing, and it's Kate Bishop, Hawkeye.
Oh, there you get Chuck's money.
Yep. I was like, wait, I can be Kate Bishop in the next like week or two? I love the Matt Fraction, Kate Bishop, Clint Barton, Hawkeye. I have to be. And to make matters even sweeter, the voice actress doing Kate Bishop is Ashley Burch, who has done a bunch of great stuff, including a web series about 10 years ago that I absolutely loved called Hey Ash, What You Playin', with her brother Anthony, who went on to write the Borderlands games.
Borderlands
2 and the pre-sequel and stuff. So, yeah, I'm in. I'm absolutely. I'm leaving here. I'm leaving the studio this afternoon and going to GameStop and pre-ordering.
Yeah, you might as well pre-order if you're not going to pick it up. Kind of a bonus from it.
Yeah, that's what
The Hulk, some fancy new skins to wear.
Yeah, some new skins, and I think if you go to GameStop, if they still have them, they got little like silver buttons of each of the Avengers
fancy
emblems. So, like, I want that, if I can get that.
Yeah, so, I'm still waiting for mine to come in the mail.
Right.
Any day now.
Yeah, but I'm
sometime soon.
I'm excited about that. I'm also, Well, I'm excited to talk to you guys about this. Not really excited about it, but did you guys hear about what's going on with the PS5?
No.
The PlayStation 5. So you could put pre-orders in for the PlayStation 5 if you were like a PlayStation.
Correct. I got an email for it. Yes.
Yeah, you got an email for it. But even if you put a pre-order in as part of your PlayStation Network or something like that, it's not guaranteed. Like they're not.
It's still a limited supply. You don't know when it's coming out. You don't know how much it's going to cost. But if you want to pre-order one, you can reserve a spot. That's not guaranteed. So really, they just sent an email.
Yeah.
Out.
You're getting like a digital place in line.
Yeah.
To hopefully get a PlayStation 5.
I think this is Sony trying to test the waters to say, okay, what does the demand look like? Do we need to ramp up production? So we just sit tight because we'll have enough to compete against the Xbox or whatever.
Right.
Right.
Because
feel like that is.
Yeah, because the Xbox.
We put out feelers.
I think a couple of weeks ago they said that the Xbox has actually been pushed back to the end of the year, if not the beginning of 2021.
Mm-hmm. We've all got PS4s. How big of a hurry are you guys in to get a 5?
Not a big hurry.
This much of a hurry? Zero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that like an eventual thing or maybe not even that?
It's do I decide I need it? You know, because there's nothing really that jumps out at me that I need to have immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, really anything that I've seen coming down the pipeline in video games that I'm super, 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 super excited about is Star Wars VR. Getting to fly those ships in Star Wars with the VR. Other than that?
Hey, I'm not in a big hurry myself. I'll get it eventually.
Right.
You know, it's just one of those things where I don't even play that many games these days, but I've always had a PlayStation, so I always got to give it at least a year to work out bugs and things
sure.
like that. But
and one of the other reasons to not be in a hurry for the PlayStation 5 is there was a support page over on Ubisoft's website that revealed that backwards compatibility will be available for supported PlayStation 4 titles, but won't be possible for PlayStation 3, 2, or PlayStation 1 games.
Which I thought that's the complete opposite of what they said when they launched all the news with the PS5 was it's going to be backwards compatible all the way down to the PlayStation 1.
Yeah, we're going to play every version of the PlayStation.
You can play it all on the PS5.
And I think what they're kind of backtracking on is the fact that they plan on putting digital versions of all the PS1, PS2, PS3 games on there, but you can't pop a PlayStation 3 disc in and it'll play. If you've got the original, you know, PlayStation 2.
So my Cool Borders PS1 game that's been sitting on my shelf for years, I won't be able to pop in and get some sweet air, do some 720s down that slope.
Doesn't sound like it.
Bummer.
Since then, Ubisoft has had to release that, which makes people think that it's probably even more accurate that Sony people reached out and were like, hey, you want to not let people know what's going on here? Not the greatest news for the PlayStation 5, but as you can see, this room here, we're not in a big hurry. The Miles Morales game is the first thing on the PS5 that I'll probably get.
Yeah. I don't know. That does bum me out because I was excited about the backwards compatibility because I still have all of those old PS2 and 3 games or whatever. And I there's a few that I would go back and play, but it's like, I don't know. It's just money. Reaching for money, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to make enough money off of new games. And, you know, the fact that people will still buy some of those digital versions. Like, maybe.
Oh, sure.
You know, like.
Especially, I had the PS Vita, for example, and they would put PlayStation 1 games on there, but they would be like $5 or $10.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, I'm sitting on a copy of Final Fantasy VIII for the PlayStation 1, but for $5, I can have it on the Vita and take it wherever I go. How cool is that? Yeah, I'm totally doing
that. They've got me to buy multiple versions of Final Fantasy. I just recently bought them all for my phone.
What?
So I've got them on my phone now.
So now you have another device to ignore the game on.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, 100%.
Absolutely.
I've been playing Final Fantasy lately.
Which one?
The first one.
The very first one?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
It's probably...
I found it on a collection, and it was 1 through 6.
Really?
And that 6 follow-up, whatever the hell that was, too.
Oh yeah, there was a sequel to 4, I think it was, that like it was called the After Years or something.
Yeah, I thought it was 6, but either way, that After Years sequel that had all of them.
Which is funny because you're going to end up playing. You got like 6 or 7 Final Fantasy. You're going to play 2 of them.
Yes, maybe.
Really? Yeah,
maybe
3 of them.
And they've got the other some of the other ones available too, like 7. This is the funny thing is 7 and 9. There's no 8. I don't have 8.
Isn't 8 like...
That's my favorite.
Oh, it's your favorite.
Yeah, and you know what,
PlayStation 1 series. That's the one that I like.
And the funny thing is, this so typical Chuck, where Chuck,
it is really.
Chuck likes going off the beaten path.
What's the thing everyone hates? That's my favorite.
Yes, because that is the one, like, classically, the waste of time of the Final Fantasy, like,
yeah.
widely agreed on.
Yep, absolutely.
But
that's, over the weekend, I was just given a listen to the new Metallica box set, SNM2, over like a streaming service. And I was upset that they didn't do a symphonic version of I Disappear. Which is the B-side off of the Mission Impossible 2 soundtrack that, like, we play it on the riff a bunch, and I think it's a fun song, but, like, no Metallica fan gives a crap.
No.
They play I Disappear. They want to hear Master Puppets. They want to hear Sandman.
Yeah. It gave James Hetfield a chance to drive one of his classic cars in a music video.
It did.
I'll be honest. That's one of the few Metallica songs I like.
It's
That's outside of my preferred Metallica zone.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you're an old school metalhead.
I am, and the brand new stuff. I actually really like.
Hardwired is a great album.
Hardwired is so good. Death Magnetic is pretty good, but Hardwired is really good.
Hardwired to self-destruct.
Yeah,
right.
It's
so,
like, the first five songs in Hardwired are all songs that we played before it came out. I love all of them.
Yeah, I tried to go back and re-listen to Load and Reload. You know, and I was just like, you know what? Maybe I was just like teenage angst and angry, and but maybe like in my older, mellower years, I can find an appreciation for these albums that I put in Load. But nope,
still trash.
Still the most appropriately named album of all time, a Load.
Well, be thankful that speaking of Loads, that none of us in here are Madden fans, because apparently Madden 21 is a absolute car wreck. We complained about WWE 2K20 last year.
Disaster.
How bad that game was, which leads me to something we'll talk about in a couple minutes, the new WWE game.
Oh, yeah. I got to talk to you about that.
Yeah. But angry Madden 21 users were all over social media this week with the hashtag NFL drop EA. They're so upset about this game. And one of the things that I saw, even not being a football guy, not being super into Madden, I'm like, I want to see why is this bad? Why is this bad? Apparently, it's super glitchy. There's a whole bunch of problems with it. But one of the things that somebody on Twitter had pointed out is that if you stop a play and then you can move the camera around so you can see the players and everybody else, and then point the camera into the stands and zoom in on like the little ticker that goes across in the stands, it says Madden 19 on it. They didn't.
So somebody.
For 2 years, they haven't bothered to change the little ticker at the top that has the Madden logo.
That's funny.
And it's still the Madden 19 logo up there.
That is really funny.
And I guess that's been a huge problem, even with last year's game, is that as much as we'll complain about with the wrestling games, how it's like you're just adding 7 or 8 people to the roster and giving me the same game. That is exactly what Madden people have
been doing. Well, that's what Madden's been doing since the dawn of time, I feel. Every game is exactly the same until you get like a next generation console. Then it seems a little different.
Any game that has a yearly release like that, it feels like that's what you're that's what you're paying for,
right?
They
update the rosters, they get the jersey colors correct, you know, if there's a new mascot or you know.
I don't. I'm, you know what? I'm
like
glad
the Washington team instead of the Redskins.
Right. I'm glad you did this story though, because I was kicking around the idea of picking up Madden, because it's been exactly what.
Wow. Who are you right now? You got Final Fantasy on your phone. You're thinking about picking up Madden.
Yeah.
Well,
the funny thing is, I used to get Madden every year.
Right.
I do like football, and I do enjoy that game. But the reason I stopped buying it is the exact problem you just mentioned, that I'm really dumping $60 in this a year for the same thing.
Every year.
Just so I have an updated roster. Yeah. And I don't like playing online, which has been covered ad nauseum on this show.
Do the ambulances still come in when somebody gets injured and run all the players over? Because that was my favorite part of the game.
I don't think so.
Somebody gets injured and all of a sudden the ambulance comes rolling in and like rips right through a whole team.
Ambulance comes in and injures 7 more players.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, that doesn't seem very right.
But like all the changes they would make, I was never crazy about. And so my thing was like, you know what? I'm done buying this. And the thing I always wanted was to play full 15-minute quarters on Madden. But there was no like, all right, well, I can save my progress in the middle of the game and come back to it later, because I don't have time to play a full hour of game time at once. And now that I have a PS4 where you can put it to sleep, I stopped buying the Madden games, so I can't, you know, do
they gave
thing
you what you wanted.
And then I stopped playing them, yeah. But I was thinking to myself, like, it's been a long time since I bought a Madden game.
Right.
I could justify spending the money, but then
maybe wait till 2022.
Well, I was going to say, from the sounds of it, you can, and Madden's one of those franchises that has a game every year, and then the game that you bought last year goes down to like 10 or 20 bucks. From the sounds of it, you can go buy the game from 2 years ago and be just as pleased as you would be if you spent the 60 on the new one.
Right.
I'm sure you can create characters. So if there's any player that you want to play as, just put him in the game.
Yeah.
Oh, I just every time I create a player is named Alan Beck, and he's friggin' awesome.
That's what I do with the wrestling games.
He's always my actual.
He's the star quarterback.
He's always my actual height of 5'8", and he runs over 7 foot monsters.
He's got the power and the speed, and he's just plowing through people like a bulldozer.
Yeah, and I make my actual weight too. So he's a little round.
He's a round, short, little fat, but a powerful.
That's right.
Can you have a nickname in there? Like, you know, certain Paul players will have, or, you know, like wrestlers will have.
Crusher or something.
Yeah, because it would be funny to call yourself Alan Bulldozer Beck.
Yeah.
Running right through.
Yep.
Because when I make my wrestler, I'm always Mr. Bean.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah. I like that.
Mr. Bean.
It's also a nod to
Rowan Atkinson.
Rowan Atkinson, exactly. Yeah. My catchphrase on the mic is, you can't be mean to Mr. Bean.
I love it. I love a
exactly
cheesy rhyme. I love it.
But talking about Madden 2021 being a disaster and people being upset about this game, I wanted to pose the question to you guys. In your history of growing up with video games, have you ever had a video game that was so bad that you either returned it or like it completely killed, like, I don't, like, you played it for an hour or two and you were like, I'm done. Because I've had a few that was so bad that I either just chucked it up on the shelf and never touched it again.
I'm trying to remember the one that made me very cautious about games, because I remember I bought it and put it in and I was like, this is such garbage.
Yeah.
I'm scared to buy any new games now. And I can't remember which one it was, but I had a bad experience with Resident Evil, like the first Resident Evil that went online.
Okay.
Because all you could do is play online. And guess what? I didn't have set up yet.
And you weren't.
It was online playing. We didn't have the internet. We didn't have a modem that could do that.
Right.
So I was like, I just spent $60 on this. I had to sell it on eBay and take a $10 loss.
See, there was for the original Xbox, they did a couple of WWE games, and one of them was called WrestleMania 21. And I got it, and I brought it home, and I played it for an hour, and I took it right back to GameStop and told them it was broken, even though it was perfectly fine.
It was that bad?
Because it was that awful.
So my problem is I shy away from buying new games right away, because the experience you're describing, where you play it for an hour or two and shelve it and never come back to it, is how I usually play really good games.
Right? Wow, I've been waiting forever for Red Dead Redemption 2. Well, that was a fun hour.
I had to start RDR2 again a second time, because I had that exact thing. I played it for an hour. I was like, holy crap, it's amazing! And then I took like 2 months off and came back. I don't know what the hell's going on here, so I had to start it over again. Say, the Final Fantasy VII Remake, I had to go through that.
Yeah. You had to start it over?
I haven't started it over again yet, but I need to, because I picked it back up again, and I was like, I don't remember what I'm doing.
I've
played
lost.
The old version already.
So you're too busy playing Final Fantasy I on your phone.
You're still playing the original.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we had
Jay Moore threw out Fallout on the chat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, XG. For sure. I don't think I stopped playing Fallout because it was bad. I was just overwhelmed. Like, as soon as I got out of the vault and there was no direction about where I was supposed to go, I played for another hour, and I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I'd rather play something where I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, it took me about 5 attempts to actually get into Fallout 3 for that very same reason. Get out of the vault. I made it to Megaton, and then I was like, what do I do now?
Mm-hmm.
I defuse this nuke here in the middle of this town.
I didn't even get to that part.
Oh, I just guessed. Somehow I guessed into it. Like,
and I remember talking to Jefferson about this years ago on an earlier episode of Nerd Radio. So if you guys want to go into the archives and listen to all our old Nerd Radios and figure out which episode it is, and let me know on Twitter. I'll appreciate it. But I remember,
dude,
like,
Chuck's dirty work.
The city of Megaton is to the left, and I got out and went to the right. And just wandered around for an hour, never found Megaton, loaded myself up with bottle caps, couldn't run anymore, and then got, you know, killed by giant insects. And I was like, I don't get this game.
I get it. Yeah, it took me a long time. I had to buy a strategy guide to tell me, because so I made it to Megaton, and then there's like a giant supermarket. So the next building you encounter is a giant abandoned supermarket full of raiders. So I'm like, oh, I got to go in here and kill all these raiders. I'm assuming it's like everything that they put in front of you, you have to go through and do.
Right.
And then I realized, oh, I could have just went right past that. I got it. Okay.
Let's see what else we got here. Neverwinter Nights 2 from Recycled. I'm proud of myself. I was able to figure out what his Twitch thing was.
Yeah, all right. I get that.
All right. And Valiant Summer had one, too. Where did it go? I lost it.
They were talking about, I think, Brotherhood of Steel.
Yes, Brotherhood of Steel. There's the other
one. That's one of the Fallout games. You know, it's always disappointing when you especially when you spend the full $60 on a game and then you don't like it. It's even worse when you get motion sickness. You spend the $60 on the game, you're like, I can't play this.
This game literally makes me sick.
I can't, And it's not even because it's bad.
Yeah, I had that problem with that Ace Combat game for the VR.
Yeah.
Now, it didn't cost me $60. I don't think it was an older game, so I bought it, you know, later, and it was only like $20.
Right.
But I put it in the VR, and I was like, it's going to be awesome. It's like living in Top Gun.
Yeah.
And then I don't get motion sickness, and I got sick playing Ace Combat, which made me go, that's awesome. I need to go get some Dramamine.
diarrhea is not caused by motion sickness. So.
Right. Well, speaking of VR and games that you play in VR, especially flying ships, last weekend was a kind of a E3 kind of event called Gamescom.
Yeah.
Where they showed a whole bunch of trailers, a bunch of different game companies that aren't, you know, Nintendo.
It's like typically like the third largest gaming like expo that usually happens in a year. But because of COVID and stuff, some of the other big ones did not take place. But
one of the things they showed off is the Star Wars Squadrons. There was like a single player preview where they got to show you what the VR looks like, which is pretty awesome, actually, because it's not just the flying parts. There's parts where you're, you know, getting your mission from characters, and you can do those parts in VR and kind of look around and, you know, get right up on Lando Calrissian and look him up and down.
I'm like, hey, ooh, Lando's packing heat down there.
Right.
That big old lightsaber there, the pleasure of that robot we saw in the Solo movie.
I do wonder.
First place James goes. Yep.
I do wonder how they're going to handle crashing in Star Wars Squadrons, because there you can fly ships in Battlefront, and I crash those ships nonstop.
Well, you're probably going to see yourself crash, and then all of a sudden everything just goes black.
But, like, are they going to, like, Battlefront, are they going to let you back in the game? Are they going to respawn you, or are you going to have to start the level over and over again? So you're going to, like, the first 2 hours of it is going to be figuring out how to fly an X-Wing without crashing the damn thing into stuff.
It would be crazy if they were, like, super detailed. Like, you go through the windshield of the X-Wing.
Yeah, you're like,
your arm comes off.
Yeah.
give you PTSD from crashing an X-Wing.
That makes me want to play it more, to be honest. Watch this. I'm going to crash.
I'm going to crash it right into that Star Destroyer, and then you're going to see me go through the windshield into the window of the Star Destroyer, and my body hit face-to-face right with that guy, that general that's in the Star Destroyer.
What happens if I crash my ship into another ship? Do I fly out of my windshield into their windshield, or then I can, like, choke the other guy? I'm going to choke on something.
Yeah.
I meant choke the opponent.
You get to, for those watching on the Twitch stream, it looks like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get ejected out into space, and there's a little device that comes down and just smother you.
It's a sympathy smother.
Yeah.
But that's not the only place Star Wars is showing up in gaming. They're making a Star Wars-themed expansion for Sims 4.
This might get me back into The Sims.
How cool is this?
Interesting. Yeah, and I can pick up intergalactic babes and have them come back to my place and hop in the hot tub with me.
Yeah, it's called Journey to Batuu, and you can flirt with stormtroopers on Batuu, and it's the theme park from Galaxy's Edge, the place they've got in Disneyland.
That's cool.
For Star Wars.
I kind of want to check it out.
And they're doing Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga. It's not coming out until next year, but it's going to have all 9 movies worth of levels.
Wow. And,
which is crazy to me because, like, I remember when they started making these Lego Star Wars games and they would just do one movie and make a whole huge game out of it. And then they would combine the 3 movies into one thing. And now you're making a giant gestalt of 9 movies worth of Lego
trilogy,
Star Wars.
A trilogy's worth of Lego video games.
Right. So that seems like way more Lego Star Wars than anyone has asked for. It's also kind of funny to think that, are they going to charge the same, like, $60 that they charge for a game every time one of these games comes out? I was like, I spent $60 for 3 movies worth of Lego Star Wars, and now I'm spending $60. Why didn't I buy all the, whatever.
Yeah, I'm getting a better deal. I'm getting more game for my money if I buy the trilogies.
Yeah. Did you also see they've got season 2 of Fall Guys is
on the way? Yes, medieval times themed obstacles and
costumes.
That's
cool.
Yeah. I was telling James before we started today, I played Fall Guys, I think Friday night before I went to bed. I got second place out of 60 people.
Wow.
Like, I could see in the last level, I could see the player ticker going down, and it was down to, like, me and one other person. I could tell it was two, and I'm like, oh no, oh no, it's only me and one other guy. And then I lost.
And then he blew it.
Second place. Some bitch.
You get too excited.
They also announced a couple of things. A new World of Warcraft expansion. That's what I was going to say. I think I was talking to my sister and maybe Robbie and Callie from Checkpoint about this. I can't imagine in 2020 paying a subscription fee for a game, an MMO like World of Warcraft or Final Fantasy 14 or something. I want to try it out.
And that's a monthly fee?
A monthly subscription fee.
But how much different is that than buying a Battle Pass, really?
Yeah,
Pass is a little bit longer.
I don't even buy Battle Passes. Gotcha. Not when I can play it for free.
Gotcha.
Did you see the thing they're doing in Fortnite right now, too?
They got Marvel
characters in Fortnite. Yeah. I downloaded over the weekend, played one game, remembered why I didn't like Fortnite and deleted it.
Oh, man, it's still the same. That's a bummer. I kind of want to check it out to see what it's like playing with some of the Marvel characters and seeing some of the Marvel elements that they've added to it. I know they have like a Black Panther little monument.
Yeah,
thing
there's
set
supposed
up,
to be like there's a Sentinel from X-Men that's supposed to be somewhere.
Yeah, there's like a Sentinel graveyard.
Yep.
I think you can play as Thor. And I think you can get like a Groot ability, a Doctor Doom ability, and some other things. And I believe they put out a comic, which is...
In Fortnite?
No, they put out a comic. Put out a comic that's like, want to continue the story? Check out Fortnite, which is now making the Fortnite stuff canon, which I think some people are upset about, some people aren't.
Huh.
We talked about it a little bit on Checkpoint XP.
So yeah.
That's the only reason why I know about that.
We got somebody in the chat who's been paying for World of Warcraft for 14 years.
Yeah, it's Alakna Ruby. I don't know. I played World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
I spent a couple years playing World of Warcraft. I think it's a fantastic game.
I've never played it.
I cannot
imagine.
Is it
still fun for him? Is my question for him. Is it still fun years later?
If you're still there 14 years later, you're probably doing a lot of raids. You probably maxed out your levels, and you're just waiting for the new expansion.
He says it is, yeah.
Yeah, but I can't imagine, and let me clarify this. I can't imagine paying $30 to $60 for a game and then on top of that paying a subscription fee. That's different than, hey, I'm going to download Fall Guys and then buy the Battle Pass or, you know, something like that. Oh, $20 for a game that I could play for free, but I'm really enjoying? Yeah, I've done. But to buy a game and then on top of that being like, do you want to play the game? Well, you got to subscribe.
Yeah.
Like, I can't, no.
So you're like, so for 1 year, I got to pay you $60 for the game,
$10
a month. So I'm looking at $200 just to play your game for a year.
Right. But I get that too. Alakna Ruby just said in the chat, there's dumber things he spent $15 a month on.
Yeah, like my OnlyFans page. Thank you, Alakna Ruby. We appreciate your donations.
Absolutely.
My erotic content.
Yeah. So erotic.
All right. Well, we're going to take a short break and come back with our Death Watch. Albeck is prepped and ready to let you know who died in the world of nerds, and some comic book news as well.
Death and comics.
Death and comics.
Death and great. Wonderful.
Coming back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Monarch of Mass, the genetic jackpot, Joe Coleman.
And over to my right, the hummus spread heartthrob, the quad of war, Idris Abraham.
And together, we are known as
Halal Beefcake,
and you're listening to Nerd Radio.
Those guys were a lot of fun.
Oh, I love them. Every now and again, that picture that we took with them will pop up on my social media, and it always makes me very, very happy.
Yeah, yeah, dude. When we eventually get back to a normal life,
yeah, when
we gotta have them back in the studio.
We have guests in the studio again, then it'll be really fun to talk to those guys.
Yeah,
again.
I mean the genetic jackpot. He's a big X-Men fan. He's a big comic guy.
So. Yeah, it'd be great if we were able to talk to him about the New Mutants movie and stuff like.
What his thoughts on the New Mutants movie are. I can see, I took Amy to see it, and, you know, above and beyond the driving experience being crazy, she's like, even listening to it, I have no idea who these characters are. I really don't know what happened. I'm looking forward to when you have it on the TV at home, and I can see what's going on.
Yeah.
But over the weekend, we found out T'Challa, the Black Panther, also known as Chadwick Boseman, passed away. I was on the air Friday when this hit.
Mm.
I was like, I saw somebody, I think it might have been Killer Hall, sent me this story over Facebook, and I'm like, and I quickly checked it, and then it started hitting all the news feeds. I was like, oh no, this is and 43.
So when you see a name like that too, you immediately think, oh, hoax.
Right. That
it's
was
a hoax.
That's why I immediately, okay, let me do a Google search. Let me find at least two or three other sources actually reporting this.
What? Ass cancer? No way. He's too young. Oh, yep. It's real.
Oh, lordy. Yeah. And I'm 43. Now I'm frightened.
Oh, no. You better go get that butt looked at.
I guess I better. Better
go to the doctor, spread those cheeks.
Maybe I'll put that on my OnlyFans.
There you go.
Can you guys diagnose me?
Yeah.
Whether or not.
Here's the butt cam.
Oh, no.
You want to control the butt cam, you got to pay the $10 a minute fee.
Subscribe to that, Twitch.
But yeah, very, very sad news. Of course, like I said, we all knew him as the Black Panther in about four movies. And he was diagnosed, I think they said, like 4 years ago.
Yeah, he was making all those movies sick.
Yeah, he was doing all these, you know, he was the Black Panther pretty much while he knew, especially the last two Avengers movies. Mm-hmm. Like he knew the clock was ticking while he was doing this. So for him to have given us the entertainment that he did while he was in the state he was in, we can't be more grateful for something like that.
Yeah.
And
this was a great job, too.
Absolutely. He also played Jackie Robinson and James Brown in two different movies and did fantastic jobs in those movies. And he does have a movie coming to Netflix in a couple of months that he's going to be in as well. Probably be his final movie, which makes me think of Raul Julia's final movie.
Street Fighter.
Yes, I'm Bison.
Oof. Went out on that one, huh, Raul?
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, it's once again, people hate that movie, and I'm like, no, it's a fun movie.
It's one of those ones, huh?
Yeah, it's a fun movie.
I mean, even Jean-Claude Van Damme couldn't save that one.
Also, do you know this voice?
Previously on X-Men.
Does that mean anything to you?
That voice?
Yeah.
No.
It's the voice of Cyclops from X-Men, the animated series.
Oh.
Norm Spencer passed away as well. He was also, this is the thing I find fascinating, looking up his IMDb, he continued to voice Cyclops through all the Capcom games. So, like, I've got the X-Men versus Street Fighter game up here. Like, this is him.
He kind of has that, like, classic arcade, like, announcer voice.
Yeah. It's actually really cool that when Capcom put the X-Men in their fighting games, that they got him. They got the voice actress of Rogue from the animated series. And I think even Wolverine might have been the same guy. It might have been a different guy, but he was absolutely doing the Wolverine you heard in the animated series.
Okay, that's cool.
But Mr. Norm Spencer passing away is definitely...
Too bad. We should have reached out to see if he could do some Nerd Radio stuff. His voice being like, this is his Nerd Radio would be pretty cool.
Yeah. This is Cyclops, and you're listening to Nerd Radio. Yeah. Previously on Nerd Radio.
Yeah.
That would have been awesome.
That's the thing I know him most for, because that's how every X-Men the Animated Series episode starts. Previously on X-Men, and just became just something you waited to hear as a kid.
Does the actual first episode of the animated series start, like, with Jubilee and all that?
It does.
Okay, because I think they got stuff out of order here. There should be some other things happening.
Yeah, but. Well, they were, when that series came out is when Jim Lee was doing X-Men.
Okay.
And Jubilee was on that. So they wanted to make sure the team looked like the team you would go to the comic store and buy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, like,
makes sense.
Rogue and Gambit are on the team and Beast and stuff like that. Because, you know, if it was the original five X-Men, I know who Cyclops is and maybe Jean Grey, but Iceman, not one of the more popular ones.
Beast,
or Angel. Because
I was like, I'm so confused as the, oh, there's an... There's a red team and a blue team or whatever, different colored squads. And I'm like, wait a second, Beast and Cyclops or some of the OGs? Like, I'm looking at the trading cards and the comics. There's somebody named Dazzler. I'm like, oh, that must be Jubilee. No, it's different. I'm like, I don't know.
it's 80s Jubilee.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, I don't know what's going on.
So, yeah, very sad news about that. But a couple of stories, so I don't send you guys off on a down note, that I wanted to hit on that I've got here.
Now that's how you do a death watch, not like me where I go, before we go.
Before we go, this guy died.
Let's bring it down.
Right. So Ronnie James Dio has an album called Holy Diver.
Yeah.
I have no idea what a Holy Diver is. I don't know if you guys do. I've never actually looked into it. But a new graphic novel is coming out next summer. Put together by the guy who did 30 Days of Night, which eventually became a movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's about Holy Diver, the album Holy Diver. And it's going to essentially give us the fiction of what happens in the moments before the priest is thrown in the ocean on the cover of Holy Diver.
Interesting.
So, yeah, it's authorized by Ronnie James Dio's estate. It's going to be a 120-page graphic novel, and it's coming out from Z2 Comics next summer from Stephen Niles and Scott Hampton.
I have to check that out. Maybe you'll learn what a holy diver is.
I know. Every time I hear it, I was like, rainbow in the dark? I can picture that. All right, Cool. It's nighttime and there's a rainbow. Rainbow in the dark. Perfect. Holy diver? What the F is this?
Holy diver, you've been gone so long. I don't know the lyrics.
Your voice got to be a little bit higher for that.
Yeah, I'm not. That's not going to happen until you got to. Never mind.
Also, something that I wanted to bring up. Did any of you guys ever play Metal Gear Solid 5? It was
no.
The most recent one.
No.
Okay, so there was an online component to Metal Gear Solid 5 where you could develop your own army base. You could get soldiers. You could kidnap them and then make them part of your army. And you could go to other people's army bases, and you could develop nukes to, you couldn't use the nukes, but that was kind of showed how strong your base was. You know, almost like a Cold War kind of thing. Like, I've got 40 nukes and you've got 42 nukes, and we're not going to use them, but just so we know, I've got two more than you.
Mm-hmm.
I could blow up two more places than you can. Well, one of the things that they put in Metal Gear Solid 5 in the online is that you could go into other people's bases and disable their nukes. And there was a particular sequence that no one would be able to see until all the nukes were deactivated in the multiplayer, which sounds like, you know, it's the kind of... once again, it's the Cold War mentality of, like, nukes are bad, mm-hmm. so let's just deactivate all of them, but no one's going to do that, because the minute one country deactivates their nukes, they're vulnerable to somebody invading and saying, like, we'll just drop a nuke on you. It actually happened.
Really?
In the PlayStation 3 version a couple of weeks ago.
Kind of impressive, because if it was me, I'm not going to go in and just, you know, my nukes will not be disabled.
Right. People, you know, you'd go and you'd play online, defend your own base as well as try and...
And get an alert.
Assault somebody's other people's base.
Somebody's trying to deactivate my nukes.
It
no, you're not.
Actually happened, August 27th at 9:36. A screen popped up saying this world has been rid of every last nuclear weapon. And then you got to see the nuclear disarmament. I think there was even an achievement attached to it.
Really?
Yeah. That nobody online would get this achievement until all the nukes were disabled. So it forced all the players... to agree to do it, or for enough players to stop playing that somebody was still playing.
So the last five players that are still playing the game, they started a group on Facebook, like, hey, let's go disable all of our nukes.
Yeah, let's just go and disable everyone's nukes and get that friggin' achievement out of the way.
Yeah, like when I would play online
James would
games.
Have been the guy that was in the Facebook group, like, yeah, let's all deactivate.
Come on, let's deactivate.
Way to be the last one. And fire everything!
Yeah, I'm like... Your ass is mine now.
I got you. I fooled you. Yes.
The achievement belongs to me.
I'm so upset that that's not how it went down. James nukes the world.
Well, because I would always, like, gaming buddies be like, okay, let's meet in this location on the map. We're in the same map. Okay, kill me with a grenade. Okay, no, we'll meet in the same spot. I'm going to kill you with a grenade.
Oh, yeah.
Got the grenade achievement.
Yeah, I did that. The one Call of Duty game that I played a bunch online with my sister. Yeah, I think it was Black Ops. It was the first time you could go online with split screen.
Okay.
And she would help me just get all the achievements, because then the next time we booted up, she'd have all of my stuff.
Yeah.
So little things like we'd go play Capture the Flag, and I'd get the flag, and she'd watch my back and stuff like that. But
that's
yeah,
cool.
Like,
mm-hmm.
That's how you can tell the difference between playing games with me and playing games with James. James would troll you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I would be like, no, I'll let you do it, and then you let
James
me do it.
James would nuke us.
Yeah. Chuck would be like...
That's true. Yeah, and he likes us.
Like, I got to nuke these guys. They don't even play this game, but I created accounts under their names, and I'm going to nuke them.
So this reminds me. We'll end on this. Meltdown was telling me a story yesterday. About one of the times he got to go backstage and meet Guns N' Roses. And one of the tour managers was like, hey, do you want to see him, you know, play Paradise City from the side of the stage? He's like, yeah, sure, whatever. So he takes him and his program director or whatever over to the side of the stage so they can watch Paradise City. And, like, right when the song starts, if you've heard live Guns N' Roses, you know they've got pyro that fires at different points in the thing, and the pyro fires right next to them, scares the hell out of them. And then the guy was like, no, you got to watch that guy over there with the board, because he's firing the pyro, so you could see when he's about to flip a switch, so you know it's coming. He told me that story. I was like, what if the tour manager just does that every show? Because he knows the show. He knows when pyro fires. He knows what songs are in the set. What if he just finds people to screw with in every town? I was like, you want to go see
what if he
site?
Didn't like Meltdown? Ah! It was on purpose.
Well, The only other funnier response would be if when he's like, hey, you want to watch Guns N' Roses do Paradise City from the side of the stage?
Right.
And Meltdown's like, yeah, I really do. And he's like, Bet you do, bitch. Oh, thanks for coming to the show.
James nukes the world.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, with that in mind, go ahead on WRF.com. I'll give him a plug because I got content from him. Go ahead and give him a listen to his podcast over his Talking Rock podcast. It's
also part of the B-Pod Studios.
Absolutely. Also, this weekend, as we mentioned at the top of the show, we've got the new Avengers game to look forward to. Tony Hawk Pro Skater comes out. So this is the weekend where me and Amy are going to be fighting over the PlayStation. Because do they have
any kind of
full versions of both games?
Online co-op with Tony Hawk?
I think so. I don't know about co-op, but I know you can play online. You can play against other players.
Because I think I'm getting it.
Yeah, we'll play some Tony Hawk.
Yeah,
that'll be fun times. I'll let Amy play because I'll play like two games and I'll be like, okay.
That's about how many games I can put in.
My tummy don't feel so good. And I know Al's interested. This is the week that Boys Season 2 drops.
Oh, nice.
On Amazon Prime.
There's so much going on right now.
There's a lot going on. It's funny because 2020 has been one of those years where it feels like nothing's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're getting to the fall where things typically, albums release, you know, TV shows come out. I just saw this morning that they said The Mandalorian will be October 30th.
Yep.
So, you know, we're hitting the weekends where it's like, man, there's a bunch of stuff to do. Mm-hmm. And it's Labor Day, so a lot of people have an extra day off to do it.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in on Twitch, and thank you for downloading the podcast. Make sure you rate and review us wherever you find us. And, of course, follow us on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're even on YouTube. You can watch previous shows over there at Nerd Radio 101. And, of course, find us online at nerdradio101.com. Thanks, guys.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Weekend.
See you later, nerds.
The future's stupid, guys. I'm sorry, but it is.
I have spoken.
Hey, Mr. Shatner, how are you today?
Good morning, Al. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's Al Beck here with the Dave and Chuck the Freak Show and the Nerd Radio Podcast, having the opportunity to talk to Captain Kirk himself, William Shatner, and great to have you on with us today. And I do, of course, obviously, you're best known for your role in Star Trek. I had to mention Captain Kirk off the top here, but you're here to promote a new album today.
Yes, I've got an album. I love to use the word because I never do. Other than when I have an album coming out. The album drops. Don't you love that? I don't know where that comes from.
I do love that.
The album comes out October 2nd.
Yeah.
And it's called The Blues. And it's got 13 of the great, some of the great blues songs. And I've got 13 of some of the greatest blues players. There's an extraordinary list of people who are accompanying me. It's such a compliment that people like Ritchie Blackmore and Brad Paisley and of that ilk are on the album with me, and I'm just trying to get the list up.
Oh, sure, yeah. And, I mean, you mentioned Ritchie Blackmore, who's, you know, known from Deep Purple, Brad Paisley, who's a country artist.
Sonny Landreth.
Yeah.
Ronnie Earl, Tyler Brown, Pat Travers, Jeff Skunk Baxter. I mean, the list goes on.
Yeah.
And the honor that I have that these great musicians have decided to play, lend me their talents, the album is so musical. And I'm a white guy from Canada, Montreal. What do I know about the blues?
Yeah.
And especially blues like come out of Detroit. And, so I studied, and I talked to many of the, or several of the great blues players, and evolved these 13 songs, these 13 standard blues songs. Got help choosing them, and then as we just noted, got these great musicians too.
Yeah. I was actually going to ask you about the selection process, because you do have a wide range. It's a lot of classic blues. There's a couple of songs from Robert Johnson on here. You've got some B.B. King. You got Muddy Waters that you cover. And you mentioned you had to study a little bit. How did you pick out some of these songs?
Well, I had help from musicians, help from people who were knowledgeable. And in the books that I read, of course, you know, the great players, Muddy Roberts and Muddy Rivers and Robert Johnson, their names stick out, so I thought, well, let's try that. I mean, the legend of Crossroads is there. It's so dramatic. Guy doesn't play the guitar well, goes out late one night, goes to the crossroads, sells his soul to the devil, comes back the next day, and he's a virtuoso guitarist and writes the Crossroads. It's a wonderful legend.
Yeah.
And in fact, it was the first choice to do a music video. But then we settled on I Put a Spell on You, and there's an animated video coming out at the same time as the album on October 2nd. It'll be on YouTube, and it's very funny and really just delightful. But it was a matter of choosing the songs, seeing if the lyric fitted what I do, and trying to find a way of finding my blues voice, if you will. Mm-hmm. I mean, what is the blues voice? The people who sing it are such variety. You know, there's the falsetto, there's the screaming, there's the intimate voice. What is the voice? What is my voice of the blues?
Mm-hmm.
And I had to find that. It turns out it's varied. And so the numbers come out differently.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite a challenge. And I loved doing it, and I believe, because I'm getting great notices on the album, I believe your audience will your reading listening audience will enjoy it.
I think so as well. I got a chance to listen to a lot of the album so far, and it definitely, like you said, has a range, but there's also that Shatner feel to it because you're a great orator, you know, and I always wondered where you got this idea, because this obviously is not your first album. You iconically did Rocket Man from Elton John and all that stuff, but it's almost like the spoken word cover songs. And what I love so much about it is it's not all that different than, say, reciting poetry or Shakespeare, but you're doing music lyrics and you are doing it over the songs. Where did that idea originally come from?
Well, that's interesting you should say all that, because I was a Shakespearean actor for 3 years in Canada, part of the Shakespeare Company, and I had a feel for that kind of poetry. And when I was asked to do the first album, I went in that direction. I had a concept. It was called The Transformed Man.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't very successful for a number of reasons. And then it sort of dropped away until Ben Folds found that album and called me and said he wanted to work with me. And I was on a couple of his albums, which started the whole process again. And I'm in awe of the singing voice, which I haven't got, but I've got something else. And I've tried to combine the reading of the words with the melody line.
Mm.
And the more I do, the better I get at it. And the blues is the culmination of all this experience. And I think the blues is a terrific album done that way. You will hear the blues in a way that you probably haven't heard it before, but it is non-traditional and yet traditional because I have that reverence for the blues that these great musicians talk about.
Well, that is delightful, and it's always you always deliver. I know a couple of years ago you did a Christmas album. I did want to mention as well, I've been enjoying Unexplained on History, which is the current
Isn't
show you've been
something?
Doing. It's wonderful.
I'm glad you think so, because I do too. The Unexplained on History Channel at in the evening, 9 o'clock, I think, usually, appeals to your sense of how did that happen. It's not about ghosts. It's about people who can foretell the future. People who specify something that was going to happen and it happens. How did they know? What
yeah.
does that say about our existence, having clairvoyance?
Yeah.
What is clairvoyance? How does it exist? What does it mean?
Yeah.
And it's that those kind of mysteries that abound in our existence. The big mysteries of is there God and religion and all that, those are the big ones. The small ones in our everyday existence, why does a crystal, how does a crystal vibrate, a piece of crystal vibrate here and 1,000 miles away, a piece of crystal from the same crystal vibrates as well faster than the speed of light? How is that possible? Mm-hmm. What does that say about what we don't know?
Yeah.
We don't know anything, and these mysteries are all around us, and the unexplained tries to dramatize some of those mysteries.
Yeah. It is a great show. You do a great work on it. I could just sit and listen to, you know, Captain Kirk tell me stories, which you do on that all day. So great on that. And I know we're very short on time that you've got to get going. So I did want to say that around the radio station and to listeners, I am known as a big Star Trek fan. It was my goal to not sit and talk your ear about Star Trek off today. But I did want to say it was a great honor to sit and talk to you. And thank you for all the hours of entertainment you have provided. And I want to tell people, The Blues from William Shatner, it will be available October 2nd, and Unexplained on History. It is a great show. It's a good mix of myth and unexplained tangible truth. So, William Shatner, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you very much for saying all that. It was delightful. Thank you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.